Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live drum and bass lesson, and we're zooming in on one of those tiny details that separates pretty good drums from how is this loop moving like that. Today's topic is snapback timing on snare rushes. Snapback timing is that elastic pull you hear in really good D&B and jungle. A cluster of ghost snares that leans a little ahead or behind the grid, builds tension, and then snaps back into a dense solid anchor snare, usually your backbeat on 2 and 4. The magic is that it feels urgent and fast, but the groove still feels locked. We're going to build a 2-bar loop around 174 BPM, make a snare rush into an anchor, and then we'll shape the snapback using micro timing, velocities, and a little bit of stock Ableton processing so it stays punchy instead of turning into a messy machine gun. All right, set your tempo to 174 BPM. Turn on a 1/16 grid to start. Create a MIDI track called Drums. Drop a drum rack on it. Now load three things into the rack. First, your main snare sample. Put it on a pad you'll remember, like C1. Second, a ghost snare sample. This can be the same snare at lower velocity, but if you have a thinner snare or a shorter tick-like snare, that often works even better. Third, optional but recommended, a clap or a little bite layer on another pad, something you can blend in later. Quick monitoring tip. Keep your volume moderate. Snare rushes are one of those things where your ears get fooled and you keep turning them up, because it feels exciting. We want it exciting because it grooves, not because it's loud. Now, step 1. Program the anchor snares. These are the snapback targets, the magnets. Everything we do in the rush is going to resolve into these hits. Create a 2-bar MIDI clip. Place your main snare on bar 1 beat 2, bar 1 beat 4, bar 2 beat 2, and bar 2 beat 4. Classic backbeat. Set these anchors to a consistent velocity. Somewhere around 108 to 120 is a good zone, depending on your sample. The key is consistency. You could add a variation later, but right now, you want these to feel like pillars. Now step 2, build the rush pattern, but do not obsess about timing yet. Get the rhythm idea down first. We'll aim the rush into bar 2 beat 4. So the anchor is that snare on bar 2 beat 4. Everything before it is going to set up the snap. In the MIDI editor, change the grid to 1/32. Now place a burst of ghost notes in the last little window before the anchor. A common starting point is around bar 2 beat 3 and a half-ish, and you tighten up toward the end. You can do 3 hits, 4 hits, 6 hits. Just remember, the last hit is the anchor snare, not a ghost. Here's a really practical starting shape. Put a few ghost notes leading in at 1/32 spacing. If you want it clean and rolling, keep it mostly even. If you want it junglier and frantic, mix a couple 1/16 positions with sudden 1/32 bursts. Either way, end exactly on the anchor at bar 2 beat 4. Now velocities. This part is not optional. Snapback is a timing illusion and a loudness illusion working together. Set your early ghost velocities low, like 20 to 55, then ramp up slightly as you approach the anchor. The last pre-hit, the one right before the anchor, can live around 45 to 70, and then your anchor jumps back up to your 108 to 120 range. When you listen, you should already feel the ramp even if everything is perfectly on grid. Great, now we make it elastic. Step 3, the snapback micro timing. This is the key move. I want you to think of this as drag, flick, land. Drag to build tension, flick forward right before impact, then land dead center on the anchor. Method 1 is manual micro shifts, and it's the most surgical. Turn the grid off, or set it to something tiny like 1/128 so you can still see reference lines. Now select only the ghost notes in the rush. Do not select the anchor snare. The anchor must stay nailed, because that's what makes the snapback feel like a snapback instead of random wobble. Now nudge timing. Early rush notes, the ones further away from the anchor, nudge them slightly late. Think in a small range, like +4 to +10 milliseconds in feel. Ableton won't show milliseconds directly in the MIDI editor, so this is ear-based. You're nudging just enough to feel them leaning back, not enough to hear obvious flams. Then take the final one or two ghost notes right before the anchor, and nudge them slightly early, maybe -2 to -6 milliseconds in feel. That little forward flick right before the anchor makes the landing feel inevitable. And then, again, keep the anchor snare exactly on the grid. That's the whole point. We're bending the rubber band and then letting it snap back to the nail. A coaching note here, at 174 BPM, a 1/32 note is roughly 43 milliseconds. Most snapback moves are a fraction of that. If your rush starts to sound like sloppy doubles when you solo it, you've probably pushed the timing too far. Also, don't judge the rush only against the target snare. listen to it against the previous backbeat too. A good rush often feels like it's being tugged from the earlier two or four, not just sprinting into the next one. That's how you keep perspective on where the bar line really feels. Now, a really important advanced concept, micro-timing and velocity are a coupled system. If you pull a ghost later, it often needs a touch more velocity to stay perceptible. If you push a ghost earlier, it can often beat a little quieter because the transient arrives sooner in the ear. So add it in pairs. Later, slightly louder, earlier, slightly softer. This is one of those pro-level why does this feel controlled? Tricks. Okay, method 2 is groove pool plus selective commit, and it's fast and musical. Open the groove pool. Grab something subtle, like an MPC 16 swing at 54 to 58. Apply it to your drum clip. Now set the groove parameters gently, timing around 10 to 25%, random around 2 to 6%, and velocity at 0 to 10% if you want just a hint of variation. Now duplicate your clip before committing, because commit is destructive. Commit the groove. Here's the crucial part. After committing, go back and regrid your anchor snares if they moved. Pull those anchor hits back exactly to bar beat 2 and 4. Leave the rush notes with a groove smear. This creates a cool hybrid. The rush gets a humanish slur, and the anchors stay like laser markers. That contrast is snapback. Now step 4. Tighten with note lengths and voice control, because rushes can get messy fast. Open the simpler or sampler on your ghost snare pad. Make sure you're in one-shot behavior. Then set voices to 1, so it's monophonic for that ghost layer. That means each new ghost cuts the previous one instead of stacking tails and turning into a blurry flam cloud. Shorten the decay for the ghost snare if needed. The ghost should read like movement and texture, not like a second backbeat fighting your main snare. Optional, you can put the ghost snare and main snare into the same choke group inside drum rack. That gives an extremely tight, cut-off feel. Use it carefully. It can sound a little gated if you overdo it, but for very fast rushes it can make everything suddenly readable. One more advanced warning, when timing gets tight and you use the exact same snare sample for ghosts and anchors, you can get nasty little facey pileups. Two easy fixes, either use a different ghost sample that's thinner and shorter, or keep the same sample but change the start point slightly on the ghost pad, just a tiny start offset. That tiny change can remove the weird comb filter effect. Now step 5. Transient control and mix clarity. We want the rush audible as movement, not as extra snares that sound like mistakes. On your snare bus, or directly on the snare chain in the rack, drop drum bus. Set drive somewhere around 2 to 6. Keep crunch low, like 0 to 10, unless you want it gritty. Push transients up, like plus 10 to plus 25. Turn boom off for snares most of the time. Then add saturator. Turn soft clip on. Add 1 to 4 dB of drive. This helps the rush stay present at a lower level without needing to crank its volume. Then EQ8. High pass around 120 to 180 HE, depending on your snare sample. If it's harsh, do a small dip around 3 to 6 kHz. If you need more crack, a gentle boost around 2 to 3 kHz, but keep it small. In DNB, a small EQ move is usually the right move because you're stacking a lot of energy in a dense mix. Optional glue compressor. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and keep gain reduction light, like 1 to 3 dB max. You're not trying to flatten the snap, you're just controlling peaks. The goal is that the anchor owns the statement and the rush is the gesture. Now let's talk arrangement, because snapback is also a musical hook, not just a sound design trick. Try the structure, bars 1 through 8, no rush. Establish the pocket, bars 9 through 12. Introduce the rush every 4 bars as a tease. Bars 13 through 16, bring it every 2 bars to lift intensity. Then, right before a drop or a new section, remove the rush for a bar or two. That contrast is powerful. Your listener's brain gets used to the motion. Then you take it away, and when it comes back it feels bigger. Automation ideas. Automate drum bus transients up slightly during the rush sections. And here's a really clean reverb trick. Put a short reverb on a return, decay around 0.3 to 0.6 seconds, low cut high like 300 to 600 Hz, high cut around 6 to 10 kHz, and a predelay of 10 to 25 milliseconds. Predelay keeps the timing definition. Then send only the last one or two pre-hits into that reverb, not the whole cluster. That gives space without smearing the rush. Now, common mistakes to avoid. First, moving the anchor snare off-grid by accident. If your snapback point drifts, the whole groove feels drunk. You can break the rules later with intention, but don't do it by accident. Second, making the rush too loud or the same velocity. That turns it into a machine gun. Rushes should feel like a whip, not a second snare player. Third, overswinging everything globally. A little swing on hats can be cool, but the concept here is often to swing the rush more than the rest of the kit. If everything swings equally, you lose the snapback contrast. Fourth, too much reverb on the rush. Reverb smears timing. Use tiny rooms, short decays, predelay, and be selective. Fifth, no contrast. If the rush happens constantly, it stops feeling special. The ear adapts fast. Now let's hit a few advanced variations, because this is where you can develop your own signature. Variation 1. False snapback. In some rollers, the kick is the true grid reference, and the snare is slightly relaxed. Try nudging only the anchor snare a tiny bit late, like 2 to 5 milliseconds, while keeping the kick dead on. Then shape the rush so it catches up into that slightly late anchor. If done subtly, it feels heavier without sounding messy. Variation 2. A two-stage rush. Decelerate, then accelerate. Instead of a straight ramp, place a couple spaced ghosts that are slightly late, then leave a tiny gap, then a tight cluster that arrives a hair early. It feels like a drummer re-grabbing the tempo before impact. Variation 3. Handedness simulation. Duplicate your ghost snare to a second pad. Change pitch by plus or minus one semitone. Alter the start offset slightly, maybe a tiny filter difference. Then alternate the ghost notes between the two pads. Suddenly your rush sounds performed, and when the anchor hits with the main hand snare, the snapback feels more dramatic. Variation 4. Extract groove from auto. If you've got a favorite break, drop it into auto, right-click and extract groove, apply that groove to your clip, commit, and then regrid the anchor snares. That's an easy way to get timing complexity that's hard to invent manually. Now a quick 10-minute practice exercise to lock this in. This audio version is shortened for playback.